I'm curious about
building open, authentic, loving relationship.
I'm curious about jealousy.
I'm curious about polyamory.
Does it just mean that you're fucking all the time?
How can I tell my parents that my partner is already married?
I'm curious about...
How do you know when you're too busy to have another relationship?
I'm curious about dominant and subordinate relationships.
I'm curious about sexual health.
How can relationships evolve with people as they grow and change?
Hi, welcome to the Curious Folks Podcast. For those challenging the status quo in love, sex, and relationships. My name is Effie Blue.
And I'm Jacqueline Misla, and in the spirit of the holiday season, we're revisiting last year's holiday special, when Effie and I talked about how to navigate the holidays while juggling multiple partners, dealing with disapproving family members, fighting against the prescription of what the holidays should be or should feel like, all while trying to experience a little bit of joy and delight for yourself.
Oh yes, it's definitely that time of the year where in the US there are a string of holidays that almost feel never ending. They start with the most important of them all, my birthday.
Of course, yes, I agree.
Of course, mm-hmm. My favorite day of the year. Followed by Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day. And with them, holidays can bring as much joy as tension. And in this episode, we make some suggestions on how to potentially ease that tension by talking to partners, scheduling smartly, and frankly, just making up your own traditions. Before we dive in, though, I just want to say that this year, we're together again.
Yay!
Yay! Last year, you came to visit me in the beautiful Mediterranean for my birthday. And this year, I'm back in Brooklyn.
I went to Orange Groves and you came back to like gray pavement and cold. Yes, that is what happened.
I do love this town. So I feel good about that. But it was so nice. As I was listening back to the episode, I was like, oh, you came out to me and we're hanging out. And I like that. I like that I'm back here in time for my birthday.
Yes, it is a holiday miracle.
Exactly. It's a holiday miracle. I feel like that should be our tradition.
Yes.
I think we should be...
Every November, at least.
Every November. Wherever we are in the world.
Just be in the same country.
Exactly. That could be our tradition.
Yeah.
I like that. And also, it's interesting because where I live now, all of these holidays don't exist. There's no Thanksgiving. There's no Christmas. There's no Hanukkah.
That's right.
There is New Year's, which is my second favorite day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then Valentine's Day is this like weird borrowed holiday.
Yeah.
Where people are like, oh, supposed to buy presents for loved ones.
Yeah. And actually, while you were here, I know that we talked about this on the episode. We've talked about creating like a day of curiosity and we never actually did it. And so... I am wondering, since we are in the same place, in the same country, in the same state, maybe we can do like a pop-up event or like a virtual soiree before the year ends and do like celebrate curiosity.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Follow us on Instagram and maybe we're going to announce a get together. We'll see.
What?
Or not. I can't tell. You're going to have to go and find out.
I love that. I think listening back to the episode, we had decided that we were going to have a Curious Fox Day, like a day celebrating curiosity. We should just make that happen.
Exactly.
Let's start it.
Yes, I agree. And let me say, this is absolutely one of my favorite episodes on the podcast to date. We laughed our way through the entire thing and came up with good ideas. I was listening to it too. And I was like, wait a minute, that is genius. That is genius, old Jackie. Why aren't I doing that? So grab a slice of pie, unbuckle your post-Thanksgiving pants, sit back, and enjoy the episode. On today's episode, Effie and I are going to talk about how to survive the holiday season if you are in an open relationship. And for this particular episode, I have joined Effie in the closet.
where we do our regular programming.
Yes. I have flown halfway around the world, well, to be in a closet, but I've flown halfway around the world to see my very dear friend for her birthday.
Yay! I'm so glad you're here. Such a treat, I think, of all gifts that I got for my birthday. And it is my 40th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Big number. I think that my favorite gift I got this birthday is you being here.
It was nice. It was really, really nice.
No, it's so nice. I'm sad that you can't stay.
I know.
Longer. But you've been here a week, which is a treat.
Yes. Yes. And this is how we're ending it. We're ending it on the floor of the closet.
Of the closet.
Recording the podcast.
Which is perfect. I think this is such a, this is just how we roll. This is like how we roll, how our relationship is, how our friendship is, how our work is. Onwards and upwards, we'll find a way to get things done.
Yeah. So it was beautiful. Good weather. Mm. Just like, I mean, my favorite part of the trip, apart from you, of course, was the proximity to the water and nature and the food. Mm. In particular, I'm going to miss our mid-morning breakfast and tea and jam.
Yeah.
That was good.
I don't even like breakfast. I don't eat breakfast. Normally, I'm like a coffee girl, like I have coffee, and I'll eat again maybe like around noon or one. But, you know, when in Rome. Mm-hmm.
And you have, first of all, like we say jam, right? So depending on where you are, you have probably bought your jam, right? You have bought your cheese. Right. Here in the Blue Residence, there are cows and chickens. Mm-hmm. So we had eggs from the chickens. Mm-hmm. We had butter and cheese from the milk from the cow that was outside, jam from the fruits.
It made by my mother's fair hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cooked in the sun, by the way. Just a little interlude on the jam that we've been eating. So that jam is made by the local fruit where she boils it, but barely, and then leaves it out in the sun with like a sheet of glass over it. And it essentially cooks.
Mm.
In sunlight.
That's incredible.
Right? It's just delicious stuff.
And then we have that. We have the cheese. We have the jam. And then we have tea. Mm-hmm. There's a constant flowing tea. Mm-hmm. My favorite part of the tea are the little sugar cubes. Like now I've gone back. In my mind, I've made notes to myself saying things I need to introduce into my Brooklyn life. Mm-hmm. It is tiny glass tea cups and sugar cubes.
Right. And the little spoon.
And the tiny little spoon. There's like little spoons and there's little tiny glass cups and little sugar. Just, it's like this tiny delicious world that I have been living in for the past week.
Yeah. And the sesame bread.
And the sesame bread.
Which I totally get. Yeah, I know. Well, I hope what you're taking away is that you're going to come back.
Yes. We'll come back.
Which I think I'll be bouncing back and forth between here and New York. So back to New York, of course, city life, love that city. And then, you know, some getaways in nature.
Yes, 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 yes. Hopefully post-COVID, because it was not ideal to travel 16 hours in the midst of a pandemic, because that meant finding the strongest mask that I could possibly buy and wearing like big blue gloves throughout my whole travel. Mm-hmm. But actually the real downside, apart from all of that, was going away and having like a number of people who miss me and love me and are waiting for me.
Well, that's not really a downside.
Right. People loving me and missing me is not the downside.
Boo!
Yeah. I'm like, the worst part is how everyone loves me and misses me. It's just terrible. No, the I should clarify, the downside is figuring out how and when to spend time with everybody when I get back, because that's really complicated.
It is. Yeah. It is. Well, we do say the hardest part of non-monogamy is scheduling for a reason. Yeah. And often when we say that, people think that, oh, it's for date nights. No, people. We mean life. Yes. Scheduling life.
Yes, 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 yes. Because I am arriving the evening before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually going to be navigating both seeing everyone and making up time for being on this trip and splitting my time with the holiday celebration.
That's some scheduled gymnastics. How are you doing that, Jackie?
I'm going to spend Thanksgiving with my partner and my daughter while my wife takes a few days to herself. And then my daughter and I will spend the second half of the holiday weekend with my wife. I know that I am not the only one who is having multiple conversations with Google calendars in hand. We have just entered into the clusterfuck of the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
In almost rapid succession, we are going to have Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's, and Valentine's in the States. So that's what we want to explore today.
Yeah.
How do you survive the holidays and hopefully even thrive, maybe, if you're in an open relationship?
For sure. The holiday season can definitely be a minefield for those who have non-traditional, non-normative relationship structures. I think at the most familiar, we have divorced household, mm-hmm. blended homes, blended families. Mm-hmm. And then when you enter the non-monogamous territory with potentially multiple partners, multiple households, chosen families, it gets complicated pretty quickly. And people can get hurt pretty easily.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's one of the things that I am mindful of is I really do certainly love, as you know, my daughter and my partners are texting me and saying that they miss me and can't wait till I get home. And I think part of that is what's on my mind is, you know, there's like the, who do you see first? Who do you call first? Who do you video first when they know, like right now after this podcast episode, like everyone knows I'm recording this and they're like, reach out to me afterwards. Mm-hmm. And like, what's the order of the reach out? Oh, and you don't want anyone to get hurt. And,
For sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, so we know this podcast is going to drop the day after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So let's pause for a second and let's send virtual hugs to those who struggled over the holidays and high five to those who survived. Well done, everyone. Good job. One holiday down, four to go. Good work. For sure. It's hard.
Yeah.
I feel like three main issues come up, right, during the holidays. I think one is getting everyone around the same table, right? And that's if it's available to you, right? It's not available to everyone. It's not available if not everybody wants to be around the table. But even if they do, just to make that happen, make sure that it's exponential, right? It can grow quite quickly. If you have a partner, who has another family, who has another... Like by the time you sort of get everyone around the table, it's kind of hard. Even if everyone's willing, it's just like, it's hard. I feel like the second main issue is dealing with friends and family having to explain your situation if you're out to them, right? Mm. This could be either with the partners there or without the partners there, right? So it's like if you did bring your wife and your partner home for the holidays, you might have to just be explaining, you know, trying to get your parents and family to understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. That in, within itself a challenge. Or you might not even have your partners with you, but they're asking after it. They're asking after them. They're wondering why, you know, they may get curious. They may get pushy. They may not understand. It could be, you know, tension. So that's definitely another one.
I've been thinking about that when my wife talks to her mom or her family, and for Thanksgiving, and they're like, oh, what are you and Jackie doing today? She could lie, she could avoid answering, or she could say, I'm alone and Jackie's with her partner, and then there's more conversation that needs to be had. Like, it's not, to your point, it's not just having the conversation with who I'm going to bring home. Mm-hmm. It's having the conversation if someone is visibly absent from being in the celebration.
For sure, yeah. Mm. And the third main issue is missing someone because they can't be there for some reason. It could be because they have other commitments. It could be because your structure doesn't really have room for auxiliary partners during the holidays. Mm-hmm. It could be that your partners don't want to get together, and many other reasons. Just people aren't able to be there. And that's like another issue that people have to deal with.
Yeah. So getting people around the table. If you can get people around the table, having the conversation. If you can't get people around the table, having the conversation. And then, and missing people who weren't able to come around the table. Either because, to your point, they're with their families, or because they don't want to be, or because your particular setup doesn't allow for that to happen.
At some point, you're like, fuck this. Holidays suck. Thanksgiving is canceled.
Right. Then it's like Thanksgiving's canceled, but then what about Christmas? But then what about New Year's?
Yeah.
But then what about Valentine's Day? Totally. What about Hanukkah? Like all in a row.
It's all canceled. No more holidays.
Yeah. So what do you do?
Exactly. What do you do? What do you do?
That's the end of the podcast.
Good luck, everyone. Best of luck. Call us. Let us know how you got on. Good job. We're thinking of you. No. Let's give people some support.
Okay.
Some tips. Let's start with the most optimistic, the most holding hands and singing kumbaya type situation.
This was the kind of situation that you were in, you know, what you call kitchen table poly, where people could get together and people wanted to be together and there was room and transparency enough for that. So these were kind of some of the scenarios that you had to think about.
Yeah. I'm going to say ideally because it's my ideal. It might not be ideal for other people, so forgive me. But a situation where everybody can be around the table or in the same room for the holidays, I would say with caution. Mm. So just saying, yay, let's everyone be there sounds great. But you do need to have some conversations. And even the most fluid, long-term, multiple relationships still need a punctuation around a holiday, because it's inevitable that people have expectations of what it might look like, or they might have some needs that needs to be addressed. So also just be clear on who's going to be where, when, with whom, and all that kind of stuff. So by all means, getting everybody around the same table or in the same room is great. I would advise to also just to have conversations around that. So making sure that if there are any expectations, it's aired and managed, that all the needs are addressed, and that there is enough transparency in planning for people to make decisions for themselves. So they can decide things like, oh, I'm going to just dip in for a drink and say hello to everyone and then leave. Mm. Or, you know, someone might want to stay for the whole time because they want to spend time with the partners and all their metamors. And somebody else might want to say, look, I'm going to come early. Have you helped set up? And then I'm going to, you know, that will be my time spent with you. And then I'm going to leave because I'm going to see my other partner, or I'm going to stay. I'm going to be somewhere else, and then I'm going to come and help clear up and maybe spend the night with you. Or, and also just deciding like who's spending the night with whom when everyone's in the same room. Then there's like transparency and planning beforehand so that everyone's gonna, you know, everybody can dance around each other with grace and comfort and safety and love, and that no one's getting hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because I think when I first heard you talk about kitchen table poly and literally gathering around the kitchen table to have brunch together, in the situation you were recently in, you're all living in the same home in different floors, and I was like, yes to that. Like, first I thought to myself, is that a thing? Like, is that allowed? Do people know that you're doing that? Is that a thing that everyone's okay with? Then once you said yes, that's allowed, you can do that, I was like, I want that thing. And I wanted that thing for a long time. And then quarantine happened. Mm. And I got a little taste of that thing. That thing's a little harder than I thought it was going to be. We, in the beginning, back in March and April, my wife, my partner, my daughter, and myself all quarantined together for 3 weeks. This was the first time that we had all stayed together. And it was lovely, honestly. It was drama-free. It was lovely. We had meals together. We cooked together. Everyone got along really well. And there were things that I had not thought of, including who was I going to spend the night with on which night? And, you know, what happened when people had different dietary needs and how, you know, the amount of food, and we go food shopping, and the fact that I'm a parent, and all of those things I just had not thought through. And I was so worried, honestly, about them getting along and everyone else feeling comfortable. It had not occurred to me that I would feel uncomfortable.
For sure.
And, you know, do I have, you know, physical affection? And who do I, when I said babe, for example, my daughter, my partner, my wife would all look at me. I call
major confusion.
Babe. And so just like things like that, I had not thought of. And so it really did make me think about, do I want that over the holidays? Like,
sure.
Do I want that kind of some things that feel a little awkward or uncomfortable? And maybe you have to keep doing it and get through it. But this year we decided not to be together. The thing that worked out for me is that my wife, really the only holiday that she really cares about is, or the holidays are her birthday and Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. Like the Christmas, kind of Christmas Eve into Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And everything else, she could care less about Valentine's Day. She would actually prefer to not do anything on Valentine's Day. Thanksgiving, she didn't mind. And so I kind of lucked out in that way because I think my partner cared more about it. And so we're spending time together. But yeah, they just were like, no, we don't need to be together.
Fair enough.
You can actually have conversations with your partners and figure out which holidays mean the most to them. So for me, the most important day is my birthday. And in an ideal situation, I would want all my partners to be there. And even if they don't get on with each other, I would like for them to just be civil for that one day, one evening, and spend time with me. So that would be my request. And then I'm also a big fan of New Year's Eve, but I wouldn't necessarily want my partners there. Like, those are my days. And any other day, like Thanksgiving, for example, I'm not American. I didn't grow up with Thanksgiving. I can, you know, take it or leave it. if my partners are like, you know, I'm going to go home for Thanksgiving and my parents are not quite sure, I'll be like, okay, go for it. I don't mind. And I think it's really about that. I think it's really understanding and having conversations with everyone to see which holidays mean more for people. And then people can sort of say, I want this one, I want that one. Mm-hmm. And then it's an open dialogue. And I think it's also to kind of to see like what holiday means what. You know, maybe somebody thinks that Christmas is all about family, whereas somebody else thinks Thanksgiving is all about family. Mm. Or, you know, someone's like, actually, it's like Friendsgiving is what Thanksgiving is about for me. Or partners with different religions, you know, like maybe Christmas means nothing to somebody who's Jewish and then they want Hanukkah and, you know, all those things. And really the only way to figure it out is to kind of sit there, make a list, mm-hmm. go through, you know, people are honest. They say, this is important to me. This isn't that important to me. Google Calendar is your friend. Mm-hmm. And you kind of figure it out. And I think that's kind of where you ended up.
Yeah. I do believe that some people will be disappointed. I think it's about trying to show up with love in the conversation, mm-hmm. show up with a spirit of generosity, a spirit of curiosity, mm-hmm. and really trying to think creatively about how to meet all the needs. Mm-hmm. And the other piece that I would include in there is making sure that you do not get lost in the mix. I mm-hmm. think something that is important for me to continue to remember, which was why, honestly, this trip was so important to me too, because I didn't bring any of my lovely people. Mm-hmm. I came to visit one person that I loved and I left the other people that I loved back mm-hmm. in the States. Is to make sure that you don't schedule out yourself so much that then you feel so consumed that you have nothing left for yourself. And so ensure as you're looking at your Google Calendar and scheduling out holidays that you're also including some time for yourself.
Right, right. And figuring out which holiday is important to you.
Yeah.
And what is it that you want? This is what I'm saying. Like for my birthday, it's like I would want... That's why you being here means so much to me, because like my birthday is important to me. I would something that I would be like adamant about. And some people feel strongly about Christmas. And so you need to kind of know what's important to you as well, rather than just be wanting to be catering for everyone. I think that is really important.
And I think this goes the other way when you have a partner. So we're talking about this as if you're scheduling. Mm-hmm. But this past birthday, when it was my wife's birthday, she had the opportunity to spend the weekend with her partner. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time since we've been together that we had not been together on her birthday. Mm-hmm. And so when she first mentioned spending the time, she thought, could I spend a half day? Could I figure out a day? And I could observe her trying to work out how she could include me, because she knew it was important for me to be there for her birthday. Mm-hmm. And in that process, I realized that was actually about me and not her. Mm-hmm. And so then I said, well, what if you don't see me? And what if you guys spend the weekend and we will connect when you get back? And there was like a load lifted. She was like, oh, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, are you okay with that? Is that okay? It's like, is that what you would want? She's like, I think that would be great if I could. Mm-hmm. And I was like, then yeah, let's do that. And it felt a little weird. It felt uncomfortable. It felt strange. And it was her birthday. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about me. And so I think that if you are the person on the other side, really trying to also come from a place of grace and giving and love and not hoard all the holidays for yourself.
Yeah. And that's very generous of you. I don't know. Did you find that the fact that she was trying to make it work with you in mind? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I wonder if that was like not enough for you, but that was like, oh,
yeah.
Like, I am considered. Like, it is one day. It's hard to split it up.
Absolutely right. Mm. I think that if she had perhaps said, if she had approached in a different way, mm-hmm. I may have felt a little different. And not that way, you should always ask for everything that you want mm-hmm. all the time with no expectations, as Angie Gunn has told us, right? Yeah. And so she could have said, hey, I really would love to spend the weekend. How do you feel about that? And mm-hmm. I would have still got there and said, mm-hmm. absolutely. It was nice that it was almost a gift from me. Mm-hmm. It felt nice that I could tell she was trying to consider me and that I could instead say, no, you should do this. This is for you. And frankly, what I did is the advice that we give folks is I made that weekend then about me and my daughter. Mm-hmm. And we planned activities and we had like a sleepover in the mm-hmm. bed together. And I just thought about all the things that I could do that felt like thriving mm-hmm. in her absence. Mm-hmm. And then everybody had fun that weekend.
Great. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And I think, isn't that also the holiday spirit?
Yeah.
Isn't that literally the holiday spirit of most of these holidays?
And let me say, I feel really grateful that we got to a place where I could see her spending time with that other person mm-hmm. as not taking away from me or being mm-hmm. about me or choosing me mm-hmm. or all those things. Like, I feel grateful that I could realize, as you said earlier on, like, it's not just about scheduling date nights. It's about a life, scheduling mm-hmm. a life. And what that means is there were many, 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 many other days Absolutely. That we could schedule together.
Absolutely. I think that I would say that's the next thing that it's worth mentioning is like as a suggestion, that letting go of stories around what does it mean for people to do whatever they're doing during the holidays? So what I mean about stories is like, well, if they loved me, they'd choose to be with me during this holiday. Mm. Or they don't care about spending time with the family because they are choosing to be with their partner. Or I'm clearly not a priority or anything like that. Meaning really sort of coming up with stories around the holidays. Because ultimately, holidays are not a test. They are... They're a day that you have to sort of make work, and you know, you need to figure out how to do that, and coming up with a story around it isn't helpful for anybody.
I think that's huge. I think I just need you to pause there mm-hmm. and just repeat that. Holidays are not a test.
They are not a test, people.
They feel like a test.
Yeah.
They test my patience. Sometimes they test the elastic in my pants. They test my budget. They test a lot of things. I think that there's enough pressure embedded in a holiday, embedded in getting together with family and what are people going to cook and the cost of gifts and whatever, and all the things, particularly in the midst of COVID, for it to be then a now a test of your love and polyamory status or
hierarchy.
Yeah. Too much pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, they're not a test. They are not a test. There's something that you need to navigate and negotiate, but not something that you're going to win or fail, or you're going to, you know, get a gold star or fail at. You know, it's just something that you have to figure out. And you do that through, surprisingly enough, communication.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You're going to do that thing, the communication thing. And you know, you need to also compromise. Mm-hmm. You need to be caring and compassionate, all the C's.
Yes.
And figure it out as adults, you know. If for some reason you're not getting exactly what you need, you know, somebody has a commitment that they just can't break, or there is travel involved, or I mean, I can think of a million reasons why you might not get exactly what you want on this holiday, on whatever holidays, then... Okay, well, problem solve, create a problem solve. Yeah. What else would feel good? Would text messages feel good? Would calls feel good? Mm. Would video call present opening feels good?
Mm. Yeah.
You know? So just think creatively on, okay, you can't have exactly what you want. Mm-hmm. That sucks. I'm truly sorry. Let's move on. Let's make the best of the situation. Mm-hmm. What can you do? Let's get creative. Let's negotiate. Let's problem solve.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking about my daughter who, you know, her father and I are divorced. And mm-hmm. so she has separate houses and separate holidays and separate things like that. And there's a piece of her that feels certainly that she wishes that we were all together. Mm-hmm. And we make times to do that, particularly on days like her birthday. Mm-hmm. But she also is excited to have like two Christmases. She has like 10 Christmases, first of all, because we get together with my family, we get together with my wife's family, she gets together with her dad's family, then she has something with just the three of them. Like, she has like 100 Christmases. And so I think we need to embody like the divorced child who gets 1,000 birthdays and holidays.
Nice.
And just be happy that we get to continue to celebrate. Like,
for sure. Yeah, exactly. And I think it's the what we make of it, what we believe. Like, we can believe that our partner not being there means they don't love us, or we can believe that the effort that goes into making that day special some other way is really signifies how much, you know, they feel, how much they care about the relationship, or how much you care about each other. It's just about what you choose to believe.
Yeah.
So choose well, folks, choose well, choose wisely.
Yeah. Yeah. And let me say, I'm saying this also from the place of that was me. Mm-hmm. I did feel like I wasn't chosen if I wasn't chosen. And I felt like that was a statement. And I did feel
territorial about days, about places. At some point in my relationship, I was like, here, the list of restaurants, not even that here. Like at some point I was like, all of Brooklyn is off the table. And then I was like, okay, fine. Dumbo. Can we go to Dumbo? Okay. That restaurant in Dumbo. Like I would be negotiating spaces. Mm. And then over time, you know, it didn't matter anymore. I remember one time my wife, who had nothing to do with the birthing of my child, was nowhere near the birthing, either the conception or the birth of my child, took me out for Mother's Day. And it was beautiful.
That's so nice.
She took me out to this rooftop restaurant, and then she took me to a jewelry store and got me a present. And there's again, no reason for her to do that. And that was really beautiful and lovely. And that is not a holiday, actually, that I've celebrated. Like, Mother's Day wasn't a thing for me. Mm. I did stuff with my own mother. And so we like created our own things that were special. That's like so we nice. Decided maybe this is special for other people, but this is going to be special for us. Or this is going to be special for my partner, but this is going to be special for us. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of cool.
I love that. And I think, again, yet another great suggestion, you know, making traditions and holidays and special days that are specific to you rather than kind of the ones that are imposed upon us, right? Mm. So I think that if you are opting in to be in a non-traditional structure, that you also need to let go a little bit of other traditions.
Mm. That's a good point.
That's a kind of the price you pay, you know? Mm-hmm. There are things you can do. We talked about you can create your own. You can pick alternate days. You can create your own. But at some point, you need to realize that if your relationship structure can afford you all the things that you want, that you're thriving, you are surrounded by abundant love and you connection and you care about the people and they care about you, that you might just not get to have it all, that you might just have to let some things go. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with your relationship or that there's something wrong with your relationship structure or what you've chosen for yourself. It's just like, it's hard to have it all. Yeah. And, you know, there are a bajillion other days in a year, and one day does not define your entire relationship or relationships.
Yeah. And I would even expand it. I would say it's not even having it all, it's having it all at the same time.
Right.
Because again, you could have as many Thanksgivings as you would like, as many Christmases and Hanukkahs and Valentine's Day. And how joyful, actually, to have multiple. Right. How joyful if you are solo poly and the relationships that you're in are constructed in a way that auxiliary partners aren't a part of those holidays. And there could be a feeling of feeling lonely on those days if you are not engaged in other activities, in other group gatherings. And you can make it special for yourself somehow and then schedule something with your partner as a day that feels really unique and creative and just for you. Rebrand Boxing Day or Black Friday or some of these other days, right? I feel like some of these days are made up holidays anyway.
Right.
I think, and I'm actually going to, this is an idea I'm having in the moment, and I'm going to institute this in my home. We're going to make up a holiday and make up our own name.
I love it.
Because
you can.
We can.
That's it. Because you can.
Yes.
That's easy. And that's exactly what we're saying. Like, create your own traditions. Create your own holidays. You have already chosen your own path by saying that the societal prescription of monogamy doesn't work for me. So you're deviating from the norm anyway.
Yeah.
So why don't you just go all out and really design, not only design your relationship, but design the life that goes with it.
Yes.
And that includes holidays. That includes traditions. That includes rituals.
Yeah.
You know, like, figure out the day. Give it a name. Make up a ritual.
Yes.
Do it. It's yours.
Align the ritual with your love language.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
So the possibilities are endless.
Right. If gifts are the thing, make it just like all about give. If like physical attention, make like a cuddle day.
Cuddle. Oh, my God. A cuddle day.
Cuddle day.
Official cuddle day.
And then you can see, we're like, now, that's it. We're going to do another just podcast episode on this. Totally. Then you can have like matching pajamas on cuddle day and get like matching like weighted blankets or something.
I love that. It could be like, oh, do you know the month, my least favorite month?
Yes.
February.
Yes.
February sucks.
Yes. And then it's February, and then March is spring, but it's still kind of cold. Uh-huh. And it's not until April, really, where like some stuff is happening. You get some breaks. Yes.
Cuddle day when like weather sucks.
Yes.
There's nothing to do.
Yes.
It gets dark.
Yes.
Like pajamas all day.
Yes. Yes, you order pancakes or you make pancakes with like fruits in them. Mm-hmm. You watch, you gather throughout the year, you make a list of the movies that you're going to watch binge, all of those things. Or if love language, if your love language is words of affirmation, maybe then there's like a poetry day. And you even, I still say we're going to do this in February, March now. We're going to put a blanket down on the floor. We're going to have an indoor picnic. We're going to get cheese and wine and olives and Italian bread. And we are going to read each other poetry.
I love it.
That's what we're going to do.
Great. Because you can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's official if you make it official.
Yes.
And you put it on the calendar.
Yes.
And it's a tradition. And in your case, like, it's actually kind of fun. Like, then it could be like the family holiday that you do.
Yeah.
And then the tradition goes on. And, you know, your daughter can take it to her relationships and then maybe her kids. And then if there's official cuddle day or official Misla family tradition day.
Yes. And because the truth is, holidays and the meaning of them and how you celebrate them change over time anyway. When I was a very young kid, we would gather with my whole extended family and cousins and all those things. As we got older and started to do that less, we wouldn't open gifts that were toys and play with them all day. We would open like clothes to which you were like, oh, nice. And then like 10 minutes later, that part of the day is done.
Yeah.
And so then we would go to the movies and we would have Chinese food. Because those are the only two things that were open on Christmas in New York. And that became our tradition. It felt like Tom Hanks had a movie out every Christmas. So we'd watch a Tom Hanks movie. We'd go to a Chinese restaurant. And then when I got married, we had a different tradition because we had stuff with my daughter. And so this idea that there is tradition with like a capital T that has been going on for generations is just not true.
It's not true.
And so then now it's a new phase and you start a new set of things to do. Now, what happens if you can't find people to do things with on particular days?
Well, the thing that we go back to with any of these things, community.
Yeah.
It's really important that we nurture relationships beyond our romantic relationships or romantic entanglements, that we have friends, we have family, we have community where we can also gather, if this is what we want, to celebrate whatever holiday is coming up. So I'm a big fan of Friendsgiving. Like, I don't, Thanksgiving as an immigrant who didn't grow up in the US, I don't quite get it. I don't have any affinity to it, but I have been invited to many Friendsgivings and it's great.
Let me say, as someone who grew up in the United States and knows the meaning of Thanksgiving, I still don't get it. I mean, I get it in a way that's like not good. Like the origins of most holidays are problematic. But this is, again, we keep going back. It's what we made out of it.
Exactly.
And so, yes, community, creativity, communication.
Yeah. And also, let's just throw in all the seeds. Commitment to having fun. Right? You can commit to like, if you want to make the most of it.
Yes.
Or if you want to have a specific experience, you can do that. You know, you can really just be creative with it and do the thing. And
that's fair.
Having a community to rely upon or to lean on are important in any situation. Yeah. And in situations like this, it becomes even more crucial.
Yeah.
So
I remember when I didn't get my way and, you know, if my wife was out or something and, you know, even my partner when she started dating someone, and there would part of me that it would like tantrum for a little bit and you know, would spend, let's say if they were out, would spend the night like checking locations on phones or huffing and puffing or being mad about it. And then at some point I was like, what am I doing? Like, I'm just wasting, to your point, around like I am choosing to be miserable versus choosing to have fun. And then of course I would lean inevitably into my Netflix and Thai food. That is my go-to.
Joy.
It is joy. Yes. I get to watch as many, you know, episodes of whatever the thing is. I don't have to, I can eat all the Thai food that no one else wants to eat except me on my own. Choose fun.
Choose fun. Absolutely. Absolutely. And realize that with all the best of intentions, with all the planning, with all the transparency, with all the communication and everything in place, things go wrong. So that's not the end of the world. Don't fret. There'll be plenty more room. There are plenty more opportunities. You can always try again. And if things don't go well, if people get hurt, people feel left out, people feel sensitive and sad, whatever happens, pause, take a deep breath, apologize, figure out how it can be better the next time, figure out what it takes to make, you know, maybe make it up to them, and onwards, you know, it's like, you're not going to get it right. Sometimes it's going to suck. It's going to happen. So just apologize and see what, you know, what went wrong and see if it can be avoided next time. And if you're on the receiving end of this, if you got hurt somehow, you felt that you left out, that you maybe thought that you were going to see somebody and you didn't, or something happened and it didn't go well for you, I'm sorry. It sucks. You know, I can see how it's hard to ignore, like when everyone's like having fun, it's all over social media, and then you for some reason got missed out, or you missed out, or you felt hurt, left out. It sucks. I hear you. I'm sorry. It's hard. Think about it. Figure out how you want things to be different the next time. Be willing to communicate. Hopefully you're with people who will hear you, who will understand, who can help you feel better, and maybe plan things in a way that maybe you could try something else the next time, and be willing to forgive and move on. Because that's what the holidays are about.
And again, particularly during these few months, there's going to be another holiday right around the corner
exactly.
for you to try again. And maybe the people who did not celebrate Thanksgiving together could buy each other little cheap gifts on Black Friday.
Yeah.
Black Friday's a day for shopping, apparently.
Yes. Funny you should say that. I've been seeing Black Friday ads around town, and we don't even celebrate Thanksgiving around here. And there's like Black Friday ads everywhere. I don't know. It's weird. It's like shops.
It's an import.
An import holiday. It's like crazy. I don't even know. I don't even think people know that Black Friday is about Thanksgiving, and we don't have Thanksgiving. It's all very, very, very confusing. What does Black Friday even mean?
I think it's because it's sad and black day in America because people are physically assaulting each other for TVs. I think people are just like physically stepping on each other to buy like cheap merchandise, and it's like a sad and black experience. No, actually, I think it has to do with like businesses finally being in the black financially after Thanksgiving because of the holiday season. But I think that the first explanation feels more fitting.
Yeah, no, I definitely, yes. I have seen like the surges into stores where people are like, it's like the opposite of holiday spirit. For sure. Yeah.
So don't trample on anyone this holiday season. Instead, determine what the holidays mean to you and which ones are the most important. Ask your partners and significant folks in your life about their perspective on the holidays. And then just be creative. Celebrate in new ways, celebrate new made-up holidays, and design experiences that are meaningful for you and the people that you love.
Love that. Oh my God. I have to say, I totally agree with you. This is one of my favorite episodes that we've done. I don't know. Is it bad that I laugh at ourselves? Like listening to it walking down the street. I was laughing out loud to myself and you and our banter. I don't know. I was just like, is this really egotistical or are we just really funny?
At least at the end of the day, if no one else listens, we are amusing ourselves.
I know. I also have this like weird sense of satisfaction that I can listen to myself and instead of cringe, I got to a place where I was that I could laugh. And like this episode is so much fun that I'm like able to breach the cringe factor, go straight into humor.
I feel like all of our holiday ones, if you have not listened to our Valentine's Day episode, immediately after this, scroll through and find the Valentine's Day one. That also is great.
That was good.
You're funny on the
holidays. And the recent Halloween was fun too.
Yes, that's right. And then if you didn't listen to Halloween, see, look at this. We're just.
I know.
You know, we're trying to guide you through the post-Thanksgiving, you know, the headaches and belly aches. We're going to ease it with some laughter.
Yeah. Some of these episodes are, if I say so myself, rather timeless. Mm-hmm. We last time was essentially a radio play, which was fun.
Yes.
We definitely need to do more Effie and Jackie shows.
Yeah. I mean, I love the guests and I love hanging out with you when we record and just
absolutely
being fun and insightful and silly all at the same time.
Yes, yes. Actually, we should ask our audience. We love ourselves. The audience are like, they're like touching us. You guys, you need to go back to your guests. No, tell us. Leave us a message. There are a million ways to get in touch with us. Yeah. And Jackie's about to tell you all the ways.
Yes.
But we're curious. What do you love most? Do you love the Effie and Jackie show where we hang out and have fun and, you know, always have, we always like think about adding value. So it's never like just empty banter.
Well, and remember the infidelity series? That was not fun at all.
That was not fun at all. That was like, for no reason at all. I'm like, let me just like rip my heart out, rip it open, put it out there into the world.
Yeah, so we'll
it was
laugh
like painful.
You, we'll cry with you.
Cry. Exactly.
Yeah. Right. So the Effie and Jackie shows, do you like those?
Right. Or like, do you like the guests? Do you like it when we have guests on and we're kind of more focused and, you know, we get our curiosity on and really think through our topics and have deep chats with our guests. Which ones do you prefer? Yeah. Let us know.
Yes, let us know. For more of Effie and Jackie's silliness and insights, for more curiosity, then you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and on our website, all under the name We Are Curious Foxes. We are working very hard, as you know, to increase our reach, and we need your help. This is your holiday gift to us. Mm-hmm. Share our podcast, this episode, any of our episodes, share it with a friend, with a partner, with somebody. I shared a suggestion at some point that I really liked. Share it on dating app as a new way of like introducing yourself and being unique and standing out. Be like, have you heard this episode? It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. See, look at that. I'm trying to help you with your dating life. But do that. Rate the show, leave a comment, subscribe on Apple Podcast or follow us on Spotify and Stitcher. We really do appreciate it. And if you want even more than that, you want to indulge your curiosity even more, then come onto Patreon at We Are Curious Foxes. You're going to find behind the scenes footage, mini episodes, over 50 videos from educator-led workshops when we were doing things in person and via Zoom. And you can find that all, We Are Curious Foxes, on Patreon. And then finally, as Effie said, please let us know what you think. We love hearing from you. If you have questions, if you have feedback, anything like that, you can do that in two ways. One, by emailing us or sending us a voicemail at listening@wearecuriousfoxes.com. Or you record a question or story or something for the show by calling us at 201-870-0063.
This episode is produced and edited by Nina Pollock. Working with her feels like a year-long celebration. Our intro music is composed by Dev Saha. We are so grateful for their work. And we are grateful to you for listening. As always, stay curious, friends. Curious Fox Podcast is not and will never be the final word on any topic. We solely aim to encourage curiosity and provide a space for exploration through connection and story. We encourage you to listen with an open and curious mind, and we'll look forward to your feedback. Stay curious, friends.
Stay curious.
Stay curious.
Stay curious.
Stay curious.
Stay curious.
Stay curious.
Stay curious.